would just like to ask the Lord and thank him for his grace and his wisdom, his counsel, as I share this message, and ask that he makes an opening in each heart to receive what he is wanting each one of you to receive. And I thank him in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I'll give you the beginning of the why and wherefore of this message. Peggy contacted me yesterday and said, do you have anything? And at first I thought no, and then immediately this triggered in. Thursday was a very difficult day for me. My husband is greatly challenged in his memory. Very, very greatly challenged. And Thursday was one of those days when it exceeded my tolerance, which has been a big, big, big test for me. And finally, after a couple of hours of just going over and over the same thing, because A, he couldn't retain it, B, he couldn't understand it. So through gritted teeth, I screamed, thank you, Jesus. And I mean gritted teeth, and walked out. That just calmed things down, but it bothered me, all day. And of course, that night we were here, and it just kept bothering me. I kept giving it back to the Lord, back to the Lord, back to the Lord. And it was 11 o'clock at night, and I was getting ready for bed, and I went out. I have an area where I sit, and I just received a booklet from Joseph Prince, and I just reached over, and I knew now that it was the Lord's hand. Reached over, picked it up, whipped it open, and just sat there, just awed, utterly awed, that God would speak this to me. So what I'm sharing with you is a summation, but the nitty-gritty of what he did through that, because it was just so intense. So I'll trust when I journal at home. I'm a big journaler. I mean, I write a lot. And everything that the Lord either shows me, or I read something and it just speaks, I write it down. Any scripture that's speaking, I write it down. And then I'll go back over this. So I've got a volume of stuff, but it's all speaking to me. So this is one piece that spoke to me, and this kind of gives you where I'm going with this. I just should have known the warfare would be intense. When I trust that I am loved, I know I am enough. When I know I am enough, I feel secure. When I feel secure, I am able to give and receive more love. For me, that's the Lord. That's not a person. This is strictly my connection to God. And that's the message that he conveyed to me 11 o'clock Thursday night. You're loved. Which was a difficult for one for me to receive, considering what happened, but I knew. So I'm just going to give you some notes that I have received for the last few weeks, all connected to that message of how much we're loved. And do I as yet have it all? No. God is working this message into me. What he is conveying to me is he wants us to come before him in all innocence and just embrace his love and his redemption. Just embrace that love. Now for me, that has been a very hard, long, difficult walk. But at any rate, I know this is what he's speaking. So I've made decisions to do that. This is a little piece that I received from Lisa Bevere, but it just spoke so strongly. Again, same message. His insight is far more valuable than any other. Rather than going to a person, for me, I continually go to the Lord. I'm not seeking a person. I want the Lord's insight. This is something she said, but it spoke exactly to what I was feeling. She said, I've often gone into his presence feeling like a victim to life's setbacks. But I come out of that taking responsibility for the choices that led me to that distorted view. Now, obviously, the distorted view is a victim of life setbacks. And I said, yes, Lord, that's exactly the way I've been feeling. I come out of it, and I take responsibility for those choices that led me to get my view distorted. In his presence, we don't feel ashamed. We don't feel bogged down. But as we stay in his presence and come out, we suddenly feel empowered, positioned, and prepared to move forward with the knowledge he's revealed. And that night, he cemented deeper into my heart the knowledge of his love. So this booklet that I had received from Joseph Prince was impacting this point in quite a unique way. Just before he fell and denied the Lord three times, what had Peter done? He had boasted of his love for the Lord, right? Lord, I'll be there. All this great big boast comes out of his mouth. Peter was depending on his imperfect love for Jesus. My love is so great, I'll never let him down. And not only did he leave him down, he cursed. He was really a real crash. So depending on our imperfect love for Jesus will not get us where we need to be. But the disciple John, on the other hand, what was John doing? He was leaning on Jesus' bosom. John learned a very valuable secret. It's not about our imperfect love for Jesus, but about Jesus' perfect, unconditional, and self-sacrificial love for us. How many times do you read in the book of John that John called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved? Many times. And that's how he described himself. He wasn't being arrogant at all. He was merely stating a fact. He had learned to rely on Jesus' love, and the revelation just, it must have continued to grow in him, because he knew it. He had no problem just leaning on Jesus' bosom. So for us, it's just not enough to think about, well, God is love, he just loves everybody. That is not going to hold us in the difficult times, and that's what, as I go through this hard test for me, not going to hold me in a difficult time. Not only do I need to believe in God's love for me, I need to act on it and do something that stretches my faith into that place. In the book of Ephesians, when we get to chapter 3, Apostle Paul had prayed this prayer for the people of in Ephesians, that he's asking the Lord to help them to comprehend the width, the length, the depth, and the height of Jesus' love for us. Now, obviously, he knew that there was a need, or he wouldn't have prayed that prayer. So that is a very maybe crucial, important prayer that it's okay for us to pray for ourselves or for somebody else. That we need to know that, the width, the length, the height, and the depth of Jesus' love for us. As you grow in your faith and experience the Lord's love for you, you will begin to expect God's goodness to manifest. You will no longer, as I had previously done, expect something will go wrong, something will not work out. Whatever this case may be that's a negative, you're going to expect God's goodness to manifest because now you're experiencing His love. That will give you the power, so to speak, to live right in expecting grace and goodness to manifest in your life because you now know of God's love for you. So let me give you a couple of scriptures here that speak further into this. In Luke 12:32, Jesus is speaking. And one of the things he says is, "Do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now notice it doesn't say the Father to give you the kingdom. It just doesn't say that. It's the Father's good pleasure, signifying great love. God in His great love is giving each of us the kingdom. When we have a daily consciousness that we are deeply loved by God, we can accomplish anything. We can accomplish so much more and overcome many of life's very difficult places that we suddenly find ourselves in. For the Lord has assured us in His word, Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors over sickness. We're more than conquerors over addictions. We're more than conquerors over depression. We're more than conquerors over lack, over fear. What does it say here? We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Again, there's that all-powerful realization that we have of God's love for us. And then this is the scripture that the message from Joseph Prince was focusing on in here. It was a very, very powerful booklet. It's from 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. And I'm using the Amplified here. "There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But full-grown love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror." I think I had to realize and look back that when I was really upset on Thursday, there was traces of fear there and some self-reliance. I had been really thinking that as I would try to impress this upon my husband, try to exert it, that it would cause him to see and dispel not much of the problems that we were having. Not so. Not so. And that became a place of where some fear was trying to come in. Realizing now in a greater and greater depth how much I am and need to rely more and more on God's love in that place. That fear can't get in, and love will overcome that situation. Do I know the whole story yet? No, it's a day-by-day experience. So what do we do when we're aware that we're not walking in God's perfect love? We ask. We have a Father who loves us far more than we can possibly grasp, who is willing to give out of his very generous heart and will help us through any and every situation that we encounter, no matter if it's teeny or huge. We ask because the Heavenly Father in his great love will, as he did for me that night when he assured me of his love for me, in spite of the fact that I was encountering great opposition. That's my message, ladies. If anybody has anything that they feel to add, please add on.
The opposition that you were getting was from your mind? From
yeah,
the enemy?
I mean, yeah, just yeah. Tremendous, tremendous war. Tremendous war, yeah.
Can you repeat the first part again? Those, it was like three things that...
The first things I said?
Yeah.
Yeah. When I trust that I am loved, I know I am enough. In other words, God does not require anything more from you, that you do anything more, that you be anything more. You are enough as you are. Anything else that God does, he does it. You don't. He does it. So when I know I am enough, I feel secure. When I feel secure, I am able to give and receive more love. So if I feel secure in God's love, I can come to him knowing I need more of it and trust I will receive more. Therefore, I can give more. The key for that for me was the word secure. When one doesn't either believe or realize how much he's loved, that insecurity comes in. And that's a horrible place to be, in an insecure place. But insecurity, it's like a rock you can hold on to and it won't let you down.